This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right side to Curry. Curry fakes. Curry pushes off. Curry shoots a three and makes a three. So he's at his average of 23 now, so he can come out of the game. Warriors 116, Hawks 90.
Yeah, that was pretty much the dagger. Not that they're really need the dagger, I guess, was really in the first quarter when the Warriors went up by 20. But yeah, Steph was solid last night. The Warriors are just a deep basketball team, man. They had seven different guys scoring double figures. They go like 11 guys deep on a nightly basis. They're really good. They're 11-3. They're 5-1 at home. They beat the Hawks last night, 120-97. The good news for the Hawks was they had pretty much their whole rotation back. Like, they had all the guys that you'd want to be starting. They were able to bring DeAndre Hunter, Bogey, Okongwu, Bufkin off the bench. So it wasn't a depth issue.
No.
It was that the Warriors are really good and hard to beat at home issue.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, they kind of, you know, revamped this thing like it used to be. They're back to playing defense because that was one of the bigger things. I know Steph and Clay and everything, but they were one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, and they've gotten back to that.
That's the thing that I thought went so under-talked about with the Clay stuff. Like, we focused on the 1-for-11 nights and the struggles offensively and that. Like, Clay was one of the best perimeter defenders in basketball for a long time.
Yes, he was.
And you know, was such a huge part of what they did. They were the number one defensive team for a lot of the years that they won those championships. And again, the focus is on the threes, and I get it. But, like, Clay was such a liability, is a liability now, but was such a liability the last couple of years on defense. And they were playing him, like, 35 minutes a night because they had to. Because he was on a max contract, and he's a legend there. Now you can actually put guys out there that are, some of them, like, specifically for defensive purposes, like Gary Payton and guys like that. Like, I don't know. They're good. They're a good team. They've rebuilt it the right way, and maybe they can make one last or, who knows, two last runs at it before Draymond and Steph have to call it quits.
I think that's the biggest thing. They want to get this, try and see if they can get another one with Steph and Dre. And right now, Steph's not having to do too much.
Nope.
And they're resting him enough. They're not playing him a heavy minutes for those times when they got to play him heavy minutes. And so, as an older player, you can't do nothing but appreciate playing like that, but yet also winning at the same time.
He played 30 minutes last night, 7-10 from the field, 23 points, 8 assists, just a tidy little night.
Efficient.
Yeah, plus 27 while he was on the floor. Hawks missed a few open shots early that maybe led to the game going the way that it went. It was probably going to go the way that it was going to go. But some pretty good looks that they didn't make, unfortunately. And then there's just like, they just turn the ball over, man. Like, they turned it over 27 times the other night against the Blazers. They turned it over 17 times last night. A lot of those were early. It's just like some sloppy half-court play at times with this team, which
it's frustrating, and it's going to be
not great.
Because the thing about it is it's a lot how we talk about, you know, the Falcons a little bit. I mean, they're an offensive-driven team. The Hawks are an offensive-driven team. I know that
Daniels.
Dyson Daniels. I know what he's been brought to the table and all those different things. And they can play defense. But them turning the ball over is taken away from the best and most important part of what this team is, and that's their offense, period. They got to score. I saw Trey hit 11 last night. Only 11 last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had 9 the other night, and so is this one thing where let me see if these guys can figure out. Because one thing I ain't got to ever worry about Trey is offense, because, I mean, that dude can – he has an arsenal that, you know, is second to none. But is it a point where he's just sitting back and it's not being aggressive offensively because he wants to see his other guys get involved?
I don't think so. I think they kind of just took him out of it last night. They just did a pretty good job defensively on him. They kind of trapped him, and then he had to give it up, and that was that. I don't know. That's one of the – even after all these years, like, defenses just kind of throw that at him, and that's it. Yep. You know what I mean?
Because
he doesn't move off the ball still, really.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Like, he's obviously very good offensively. But, like, to still be – it's kind of that easy for teams just to be like, well, we just want to make sure he doesn't score, so we're just going to throw a trap at him, and then he's going to dump it off and just kind of stand there. And that's what he
did. Go back and get the ball.
Well, yeah, something. go run the baseline and come. But look, well-worn territory. Anyway, they lose last night, 120-97. They're 7-9 on the season. And that's that. All right. I mean,
they're in the mix, though, in the East.
They are.
Because the East is.
Yes. Yeah.
Because everybody's there. Injuries and everything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, we'll get back to some more like big picture NBA stuff in like 15 minutes. Sort of check in every now and then with the way the season is going. Yeah, there's some teams off to really bad starts in the East. So maybe the East is kind of there to hang around. And I've always thought, like, in this era of the NBA, if you do what the Hawks can do, which is they can play some pretty decent defense and they try hard, you can go 500.
Yeah.
You know?
Easily.
Like, you're not a great team or anything like that, but, like, you can try hard on defense your way to 500. So hopefully they can do that. All right, here's Chris Sale talking about winning the Cy Young.
It means a lot. It's a special night, you know, obviously, you know, having Maddux announce it, being the Atlanta guy, and, you know, having a guy I looked up to and, you know, early in my career, and having Peeve here, you know, on the panel, it means a lot. So this is a special night.
Good for him, man. I don't think anybody here is surprised by Chris Sale's winning the Cy Young. And I like how everybody's digging up the clip when they signed him, the Braves signed washed up pitcher and things like
that. Oh, who said that?
Oh, it was a Deadspin owner. I just saw Grant. I just saw Grant McCauley had retweeted.
The receipts.
Yeah,
they had the receipts.
Yeah, I saw that part about it. But yeah, just for him to go and do and just put together, because it was something that we talked about with Grant and everybody coming out of spring training with him, is this fact that, you know, the stigma coming in here was he was injury prone and all those different things, and then you hear about the injuries and how the injuries occurred.
Yeah,
and he came, hit the ground running, and he just continued to just look like Chris Sale, man. And so congratulations. Although I know it's awesome, the video, I saw that this morning of him being announced as the a Cy Young from Maddux and everything. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be the head of the rotation for the time being. We don't know when Spencer's coming back. Saw Max Fried decline the option, which is, you know, kind of figured that was going to happen. And they'll get to working on a long-term extension if that is out there.
Yeah, they'll make him an offer. And other teams will, too. And we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I mean, the Chris Sale thing was really interesting because he was injury-prone. Mm-hmm. Like, he came in, he had been injured for a long time. And then you heard folks kind of dissecting it in spring because, be honest, we're not going super deep into why Chris Sale's not playing when he's right. playing for other teams. Grant and other folks were like, well, they're not really baseball injuries. Right. They're kind of freak injuries. Right. It's like, all right, well, okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then he pitched in spring training. People like, we're seeing these little indicators. And it was like, all right. Like, and I never know if that's like, if that's people talking themselves into it or if they really are seeing it.
Right.
People really were seeing it. Mm-hmm. And I think the best indicator of all of that was before the season even started, Anthopoulos was like, contract. Let's sign an extension.
Yeah.
Like, we like whatever it is, the spin rate or whatever. Like, whatever it is we're seeing from this guy.
Do you think
he looks like the guy that he used to be?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Let's ink him up before he goes out and looks like the guy he used to be.
How many years did he have when he got here?
That's what it was. I think it was the final year.
Okay, that's why I can't remember. Because I remember the extension. I couldn't remember if it was an extension or they ripped it up and gave him a whole new contract.
It was a new contract.
Yeah.
So, or whatever. I don't know. But like, But yeah, like they saw what they needed to see before he even pitched a game, like a real game for the Braves, just from spring training. And they were like, yeah, all right,
he's good.
Let's pay him before we're going to have to pay him twice as much,
he's good.
Which is really good. And it's another example of Alex Anthopoulos being savvy. And it's cool to have a story like that, even in a year like last year, which was
awful,
pretty terrible. And hopefully you don't have another injury plagued season, because him at the top of the rotation with Strider when healthy and the rest of the guys, you know, who knows, maybe you go out and sign a guy this offseason. Maybe Fried's back, probably not, but maybe that you're going to go into the next year with just as much, from me, just as much expectation as I had last year.
Yeah.
Last year was just fluky. You just got unlucky, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think when this squad is at its, you know, when they're whole, we all know where they stand as far as in the National League, but it was just between the injuries to your big-time players and then your other big-time players not being able to damn hit.
Yeah.
And then when they kind of came out of the little slump or whatever, other big-time players got hurt. And so, I mean, it was just an up-and-down season with injuries and slumps, and so hopefully you can hit the ground running. They fired everybody that's responsible for the slumps.
Yeah, they got rid of all
They got rid of all the guys that were responsible for the slump.
Because, without question, it was Kevin Seitzer's fault.
Yeah, they got to get rid of Kevin.
That's what it was.
Hey, Kev. You see that swing that Matt Olson has? I know it was like that. It's been like that, you know, his whole career. But this time, this year, we got to get it fixed.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. Get out of here.
Get him out of here. Let's get a whole new slate. All right. Georgia Tech plays NC State tonight on ESPN, a little standalone Thursday night football game. And the NFL game's not very good. So, I mean, watch the Georgia Tech game, you know?
Who's playing tonight?
Steelers and Browns.
Ew.
No one wants to watch that.
Ew.
I'm good.
Ew.
You know? Bunch of field goals, probably.
Well, it might be snow. Apes, it might snow. Oh, okay.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, that's cool.
A reason to watch.
Okay.
That actually might be fun to see.
Yeah, man, but we get to see Jameis again. For this game, I'm talking about the Pittsburgh game. Can Pittsburgh score in the damn red zone? They are awful in the red zone.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Awful.
In the probably not. Well, just throw it to George Pickens.
I'd be trying to do that.
Just throw him lobs every play.
Man. Yeah, they're awful in the red zone. But yeah, they should have their way with Jameis and them.
Yeah, they should be able to do that.
Yeah.
And Tech should be able to beat NC State as well. They're favored by 8.5 at home.
Don't be looking forward to that after drive.
Yeah, no trap games.
Don't be looking for that ride up 3-16.
I know they finished 7-6 last year with a win in the bowl game. This would be the first year that they get 7 wins in the regular season since the final year of Paul Johnson.
Good.
So, and then, you know, win that and then maybe win a bowl game. You get to 8 wins. That'd be really nice. That'd be a really nice start for Brent Key. Beating Miami is the signature win that you needed.
Yes.
And they have. And
yes.
Florida State was still really great, too. I know that their season turned into what it did, but they got 2 top 10 wins.
Yes, they do.
So you can't take that away from them.
And that's how you should say it, too. No matter how they finish, it's all about how they started. And they were number 10 when we beat them.
Yeah.
And Miami was number 5 when we beat them. And so you leave it at that. And that's the biggest thing that you want to build in a program is that culture, that type of thing, because it's so hard to build it and because of the such fast turnover that is nowadays. And now you're in Atlanta. I saw they lost a 5-4-star defensive end yesterday to Georgia, but you're in the mix now for them. And I think that's the biggest thing with Tech, as far as you talk about recruiting this state with Georgia, get in the mix and steal some of them too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being in the mix for some of them is different. They've already gotten a couple that they hadn't gotten before, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, build on it, man. Go out and beat NC State tonight. Get into the bowl game. Win the bowl game. Obviously, Georgia next week, too. So, really, really solid year for Tech, no doubt.